I'm a guide for couples primarily, and also individuals that are looking to step into the sex positive landscape, specifically exploring healthy non-monogamy. And why I say guide is because, you know, a coach is well-trained, knows the game, you know, can play the game with their eyes closed, but they stay on the sidelines. The guide is on the trail with you. I am still in this space. I am actively practicing. I am still learning every day as well. So I have, you know, 8-9 years of experience. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. I've studied on and on and on and on, and I'm still in the game with you.
Welcome to the Open Bedroom Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Kahlo. Welcome to conversations about open relationships, online dating, conscious uncoupling, and creating the relationship that truly aligns for you. Welcome back. Today I have our special guest, Allie Eisman. She is a coach and a non-monogamous specialist. Expert. She owns Passport to Pleasure. She's also on the board of The Play, which I will let her talk about. Super fun and sexy. Allie, I have loved watching your stuff on social media. I'm following you on all your platforms, but TikTok and Instagram specifically. And every time I see your video, I like stop. I think part of it is like you're so outgoing and sparkly and like your eyes. And so I'm just like, oh, I'm like drawn in every time I see your video. So would you stop for just a minute? Tell our audience a little bit about you. How did you get to this space? Have you always been a non-monogamous person? Like, what's your journey?
Sure. Thank you. First of all, thank you so much. That's very flattering. I appreciate that. It's truly a joy to be able to share this information out there in this way and to see how much the public is really interested in this now and really wants to learn and explore is just so thrilling to me. So thank you. As far as who I am, what I do, I know you use the word coach. I actually, and that's totally fine. I use the word guide very specifically. I'm a guide for couples primarily, and also individuals that are looking to step into the sex positive landscape, specifically exploring healthy non-monogamy. And why I say guide is because, you know, a coach is well-trained, knows the game, you know, can play the game with their eyes closed, but they stay on the sidelines. The guide is on the trail with you. I am still in this space. I am actively practicing. I am still learning every day as well. So I have, you know, 8-9 years of experience. I've learned a lot of lessons the hard way. I've studied on and on and on and on, and I'm still in the game with you. And then the difference between a guide and a therapist is I did actually go back to potentially pursue my master's in clinical psychology many years ago to see if that was the route I wanted to take. And unfortunately, at the time, there was just no material, no studies. I was going to have to self-study. Exactly. But a lot of people don't realize that, you know, as wonderful as couples counseling can be for people that are in a rupture point in their relationship or to prevent one, it is coming from a very mononormative perspective where the goal is couple, keep the couple together, and very well-meaning therapists and well-meaning friends and family, you know, if you've tried opening up and some frictions arising, they'll say, hey, you know, this wasn't a problem until you opened up, maybe you should close. And sometimes, but often, like, non-monogamy is generally not the reason a relationship fractures. It is an opportunity for issues that were already there to come to the surface that were much easier to hide behind the sort of status quo of, you know, assumptions that we give in monogamy a lot of times. So all that to say, I'm a non-monogamy guide for couples and individuals exploring the space.
I love that you walked us through the difference. And by the way, for those of you listening, we are talking about healthy non-monogamy today, if you can't tell, which I'm really excited about. That is very, very true. So traditional therapists and counselors, especially if you're going to like a family counselor therapist, they're not trained in sex stuff. They're not trained in what to do if you want to be in an open relationship. They're trained a very specific way and to only say these things and to only ask them in a very specific way and to ask you about your mother. Like, this is a totally different game, and you want a guide to go with you. So I love, Allie, that you're on, because she made a post and I was like, oh my God, we just experienced relationship rupture. And it was like the end and demise of we have two thruples, and this was our other thruple that just burst into flames. And it was such a trying and sad, and I'm still kind of in it. Like, I'll feel like, okay, I'm okay. And then, like, I get really emotional and I'm like, okay, yeah. I'm not okay. It's still not okay.
Yeah.
And you want a guy to hold your hand when you're going through that kind of thing, because again, this isn't taught in school. And we're only told to be monogamous with people. And so when things go wrong in your monogamous relationship, you either get a divorce or you pretend it's not happening, or you, I guess, go to therapy and talk about it if you're really healthy.
I think you make a great point too. We're not really taught any relationship skills in school, whatever your relationship framework. So I've certainly worked with couples who have tried non-monogamy and discovered it's actually not for them. They are monogamous, but there's all these skills that they got to learn during that process. Communication skills, conflict resolution, like how to really know what they wanted. They discovered new desires, where their, you know, overlaps were in their emotional or romantic desires and their physical or sexual desires, and where there was deviation and how to address that. There's so many skills that you really have to do non-monogamy in a healthy way that are 100% applicable to monogamy as well. I'm so sorry to hear that you're going through that. And it sounds like it's very fresh. So yeah, you're all the feelings. Yes. Like, it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to go up, down. Like the whole journey is a part of it. I mean, it's not, I think, a mistake that a lot of people make about non-monogamy is this myth that it's avoiding intimacy or avoiding deeper connections. And that couldn't be further from the truth. These are very real, very authentic, connected relationships that people are building just with more than one person. And so, yes, it's going to hit you very hard when you care deeply about someone and you're connected to them in that way.
I'm curious about your journey. So you said 8-9 years you've been in the non-monogamous space. So a good chunk of your adult life, you were monogamous. So what is your journey? What does it look like? I'm assuming too that your relationship dynamic has changed over the last 8 or 9 years. Typically, I see a lot of this where it's like, we started off as a swinger and then we tried polyamory and then we were like, hey, we missed swinging. We jumped back in that. And now I'm in a throuple. Like, what was your experience or what has it been?
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't just a monogamous person. I was a serial monogamous is the term. It was, what that means is I was pretty much always in a relationship and they would last for just about the same amount of time. And then I would be single for just about the same amount of time, which was very short before getting into the next one.
Same.
Yep.
One decade. Had to repeat. What's your time? Yeah. Is it a decade?
I had about 2-3 years. My relationships were generally lasting. And then I would be solo for about 6 or 7 months max. And so when I finally, and I never went through the cooties phase, at no point was I like, gross. Like, I was making out French kissing at like first grade. Like,
oh, yeah. Me too.
I was like, let's not waste time. Ironically though, was waiting to have sex until marriage, which came out of nowhere, was not parenting, religious, like just the thing that, that I decided did not occur. But did wait until college actually. But that's a whole other tangent. As far as my journey from serial monogamous to non-monogamy sexpert where I am now, once I realized first that, okay, I have this pattern, like I'm having to learn the same lessons over and over again. Like, let's try and break this pattern. Let's, you know, let me be single for at least longer than I'm normally single and see what's on the other side of that. And the answer is all of the shit.
Were you like, could it be me? Could it be that I'm the problem?
No. It's obviously all 100% on them. No, so I got to do so much personal work. And that began my just self-development journey and just in every way imaginable. And then got into what ended up becoming my last monogamous relationship. I had broached the topic in a few other relationships and we settled on, you know, we can do a threesome with another woman, which is, you know, a very standard entry point. And we never did. Another fun factoid is the conversation to open up a relationship is actually more often broached by a woman. If you're in a heteronormative relationship, the woman is generally the one actually bringing it to the table. Big misnomer. So anyway, back to that. So it hadn't happened. I was in this relationship, became my last monogamous relationship. He traveled a lot for work. And so I really encouraged him. You know, I couldn't always go with him. So, hey, if I'm not with you and you connect with someone, meet someone at the hotel, you know, lobby, whatever, like, please have fun. Like, take a picture, send it to me. Like, I can't wait to hear about everything. This is super exciting to me. I didn't know words like compersion at the time. You know, I didn't understand why jealousy was such a bad thing. Like, it was super sexy and yummy to me to think of my partner with someone else. So all that to say, he did at one point meet someone. They just spent all night talking, which is still adorable and wonderful. And then another time he was gone and a friend of mine was coming to town. Excuse me, we had a sexual history together, but we're very, very much just friends. So it, you know, was a very safe option. And so my partner at the time gave me what he called his green light. My friend and I had an amazing night. I learned his previous relationship had been open and I didn't know that. And it was just this beautiful evening. I felt so connected to my partner. I couldn't wait to tell him everything. It was probably, yeah, it was one of the two most validating experiences I think I've ever had of just like, this is real. I feel like I didn't even know I could love my partner this much. I thought I was already, and now I'm just like burst open. Called him immediately the second I left. Babe, I can't wait to tell you everything. This is so exciting. I love you so much. Thank you. Dead silence. And then he just goes, I can't believe you did it. And our relationship just imploded. And of course, there were other, you know, communication issues and things like whether you're monogamous or non-monogamous, do not test your partner. Like, it's one thing to say something that you think you're going to be okay with and then realize in the moment or after, like, actually, that doesn't work for me. You talk about it. You don't make it someone else's fault or punish them. You go, oh, wow, I actually really didn't like that.
Can we lean into this for just a minute?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're her husband or partner or whatever, and you're like, I think that might be super hot to have you go be with another person. Maybe I should let you do that, or I should allow it, or I might be okay with it. Like, don't just jump full on to sex. Like, there's so many ways to test this out a little bit. Like, why don't we go to a bar one night and I'm going to be on the opposite end of the bar and I want to just watch and see how I feel as other men talk to you. And you talked, it could be like, we were talking about clubs earlier. It could be like, go to a club or go to a sex club and just see how it feels to have people interact with your partner. Like, maybe don't just jump and cannonball into the deep end of
definitely don't have
go have sex with all the people and then be like, oh shit, that was a terrible idea. We should break up.
Yeah, I think the key component to really look at here too is, yes, you can. I'm someone who, granted, I've been on this journey for quite some time. It's taken a lot of personal development to be what I'm about to say, but I find my boundaries by smacking into them head on. That is not for everyone.
How do you readjust when it doesn't go well?
Exactly. So I have the responsibility. If I'm trying something out and like, ooh, I did not, you know, enjoy watching you do that, or I did not enjoy experiencing that or whatever, I get to own that experience. I decide, first of all, is this something that's just for me to work through? And I want to be able to see if this is actually, you know, real moving forward. Is it just triggering an insecurity in myself? And if it's just for me, then I work on it. But if it's bigger than that and it's something I need to bring to my partner, then it's time to invite a conversation of like, hey, let's look at this. This was unpleasant for me. Here's why. I don't want to do that again. This is why I don't want to do that again. Where are you at with it? And a mistake is not only okay, they're necessary. That's how we learn. We have to create containers in our relationships that are safe places to make mistakes. The difference between a mistake and a pattern is you make a mistake, you address it. Ideally, you don't make the same mistake twice. You keep making the same mistake over and over despite addressing it. Now we have a pattern, and that's a behavioral issue. That's something to really bring to, you know, your support systems, whether it's a therapist, a guide like myself, or resources that you trust. But a mistake is amazing. It gives you information. It's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable, but uncomfortable is fine as long as you're safe.
Okay. Can we talk about this more too?
Yeah.
This is so exciting.
This is my favorite stuff. Let's go.
Okay, cool. Because so as I hear you saying all this and I am hearing your story, A, you are one of the only humans in my life that is doing this. Like I have a lot of clients that come to me and they're still in the phase of like, I feel jealousy. What do I do about that? Or like, I can't feel my vagina. Can you help me feel into my body? So this to me is like next level shit. It's, you have, back to your container, like you have a partner or partners in such a safe container with such clear communication that you can test your boundaries, you can test your edges, you can test even trying to kind of work through this uncomfortable feeling, and they are open enough to go, okay, babe, I'll do that with you.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel good to me. Or you say that doesn't feel good to you about them. And they're like, cool, I'm going to totally back off then. I'll never do that again. And thank you for your feedback for telling me that that didn't feel good for you. that is such a high level of consciousness that I think most humans have not gotten to, that it's so yummy to see it. And I'm very clear that I want that in my partners. I want them to say, that did not feel great, or I didn't like the way you handled that, or I felt unsafe because I felt like, you know, you were clinging to another partner of ours too tightly. And so now I feel abandoned. Like, I need the communication from you that it's not okay. Because if not, I don't know.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And I want to stress too, like, thank you for sharing that you're like so clear on, I want to be able to have skills like that. Because if I can, you can. Mm-hmm. You can, your listeners can. Mm-hmm. We all can. It does take development. It takes work. That's why I have the offerings I have, because I wish I had existed when I started back in 2016. So bringing together all these resources, having these conversations, learning these skills all in one place. I want to help people learn everything that I learned, avoid the mistakes ideally that I took, and like save time and a lot of unnecessary struggle. There's still going to be discomfort. There's still going to be mistakes. That's a part of the process, 100%. But if you can start with like a toolkit that gives you everything you need to really start looking at these experiences in a different way and interacting with them in a different way, game changer.
Mm-hmm. That feels really yummy. So what does healthy monogamy look like? If people that are listening, they're like, I'm thinking about non-monogamy, or I'm in it and I'm in my first year or two and it's really fucking crunchy, or I'm in a specific dynamic and I really want to be in a different dynamic. Like, what does healthy non-monogamy look like?
Healthy non-monogamy, I mean, I think the key first is figuring out where your needs are on the hierarchy of emotional and romantic and physical and sexual needs, both you and your partner, to see where the overlap is and where maybe not. Because one of the beautiful things about non-monogamy is it's very, very normal to have incompatible sex drives or interests or things like that, and to create the agreement where you can both have everything you need in a way that doesn't feel threatening to the relationship. So a big marker, I would say, actually back to your point about jealousy, not that I don't experience jealousy. I have now actually also experienced jealousy. I had only experienced compersion, but I did have an insecure non-monogamous relationship during my journey. And I experienced my first, it was my first experience of jealousy. And I was like, oh, this is unpleasant. And I learned through that experience how you can have insecurities yourself. That is for you to work on in your journey. You can share it with your partner if it's helpful, but that's great for therapy and just personal development. And then your relationship can have insecurities. We have a habit in our culture of slapping a label on something, and we think that gives us security. You're my boyfriend, you know, you're my wife, you're whatever it is. Now, therefore, we have, you know, relationship security. The relationship experience is what gives you relationship security. And it's what makes you feel secure in your relationship. Having recurring, consistent exchanges, experiences, occurrences that deepen your feelings of security in the relationship are what give you that stable foundation. It's not a title. And I think that is a big one. Being able to know that you can feel jealous and bring it to your partner and talk about it rather than accusing them of something. Looking at jealousy as a tool actually for your personal growth. I like to say jealousy is my best friend. Jealousy is giving me information. It is an uncomfortable best friend, but it is always something that I can make use of. It's either showing me something I need to work on in myself. It's showing me, you know, a weak point in the relationship potentially. It's giving me information that I can do something with and ideally grow from, either as an individual and or the relationship itself.
Amazing. And I think one of the posts that I saw of yours lately said, if you're feeling incredibly insecure in your relationship, like, are you with a secure person? Or is the person the one making you feel insecure because they're insecure? Like, they're not showing up. I mean, I'm reading into this, but I'm assuming that that's what you mean. Like, they're not showing up. They're not delivering what they say they're going to deliver. There's something that doesn't feel safe. So you have all these insecurities.
And that's to the point of relationship experience. And Albert's going to, like I said, be making little appearances.
I love it.
That's to the relationship experience, right? If someone is, you know, incongruent with their word and their action, if they're out of integrity with who they say they want to be versus what they're actually doing, like, that is just, yeah, I mean, never mind even a romantic relationship. friendship, business relationship, like that's problematic, that's inconsistent, that's not a secure dynamic, that's not a secure relationship. So noticing things like that, they are things that can be worked on. I really value, in my relationships, whether they're romantic or platonic, I really value people who can reflect that for me of like, hey, you said this and actually you did that. So you're out of integrity or you're being inconsistent here, or you didn't show up. And I'm like, holy shit, thank you. Yeah, because it's like, I'm human. Sometimes I mess up, like always gonna be the case. And I need people in my life to hold me accountable. That's partnership to me, whether it's, you know, sexual, romantic, or platonic. I think that's what you're speaking to. Like another element too of, you know, we have the attachment theory as far as, you know, insecure attachment, anxious avoidant. And what's really interesting in non-monogamy is you can think like I thought, okay, I have anxious attachment tendencies. Let me like work on that. I'm in a very secure place now. I'm good. I know what my triggers are. And then here I am in a totally new, with a relationship with a totally different partner. And I'm noticing avoidant things come up for me. And I'm like, what? That's not my attachment system. What's going on? Different partnerships can actually end up bringing out different attachment triggers for you. And so you get to keep doing work that you're like, oh, I thought I was done with that. Like, no. Here's some more.
I bet you were wild. Like, why do I want to run away?
Yeah, it's like, this is new.
Reminds me of my father. And but he's hot and I want to date him. That's hilarious. Okay, so if that's healthy non-monogamy, then what's unhealthy non-monogamy? Like, what does that look like?
Sure, I think the key here is you'll hear terms ethical non-monogamy or consensual non-monogamy. The consensual is the important part, the consent of everyone involved. So, for example, polyamory is a relationship dynamic that falls under non-monogamy. It's when people can have multiple romantic or sexual relationships with multiple people simultaneously with the consent of everyone involved. That right there is the difference between healthy and unhealthy. And why people get confused and think, oh, it's just cheating. Well, cheating is about lies and deceit, inherently non-consensual. Non-monogamy must be consensual. Otherwise, yeah, it's how is it different than cheating? You can have different parameters, different boundaries with partners. This is just me personally, not a fan of don't ask, don't tell. I'm not clear on how that is inviting consent. But there are various ways to do that of, you know, yes, I'm aware that you will be having experiences. I don't want to hear anything about them. There's still an element of consent there. It's tricky territory for sure. Mm-hmm. Definitely not for beginners. But that I would say is a big marker. If you're in constant, you know, stress mode, constantly triggered, like any relationship, monogamous or non-monogamous, your nervous system needs to be stable. That's a big, big tell, whatever the relationship dynamic is.
That's good. I'm going to take us to a different place. So my girlfriend, Steph, I just interviewed her for the podcast like a week ago, and we were talking about play and how as an adult, I had this like aha moment about a month ago. And I was like, oh, we still get to play. Sex is play for us. Oh my God, this is okay. Because I was noticing in my life that I've had these phases where most of my life have been very serious. Businesswoman, retail world.
I'm a businesswoman.
Business suits, like until my mid-30s where I was like, what am I doing? This is not me at all. And now as I'm, you know, in this lifestyle space, I'm like, oh, there's so much fun and so much pleasure. And I feel like I found my playground. So speaking of play, you're a board member of The Play. And if we're talking about the ethically non-monogamous, healthy non-monogamy space, like what are some ways that we can just be playful with our partners?
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. I definitely went through my, speaking of serious, this is a very serious gentleman in his little tuxedo. This is Albert, my assistant. Yes, always likes to make an appearance. Back to the play. So yeah, and in accordance with exactly what you said, we still get to play and we need to play. Mm-hmm. And we have this, in our culture, we separate, like, life is over here, everything that life involves. And then there's sex. I'm just like, over here. And let's, like, never talk about it. It's very scientific. It's only for one purpose. It feels really good and it's really fun and that's healthy. That's really great. And why shouldn't we be able to play if we can create a safe container where everyone's on the same page, there's a shared language, we're all making sure that, you know, what we're doing is, again, safe and community oriented. So all that to say, the play is one of the most distinguished play parties in LA. And what I mean by that is, we are one of the largest communities and we are setting a new standard for safety and health within the sex positive community. We are the first and still, unfortunately, the only play party in LA to require STI testing. And that is just, again, with one of our pillars being health, something that's very important to us. There is no such thing as safe sex, but there is safer sex. So what are the precautions that we can take to make sure that we're not only taking care of ourselves, but in doing so, also taking care of our community? So that's one of the requirements we have. And then we have our vetting process to make sure, again, that we're maintaining the integrity of our community. We have an application that you fill out on our site, theplay.la, and then we would schedule you for a one-on-one interview. So every single individual who comes to our events, who's on our team, who's involved with the organization at all, everyone has gone through that process. Everyone has submitted their own individual application. If you're in a couple or a throuple or polycule, you can have an interview together, but your applications need to be independent. And it's really just to get to know you, see who you are, what you're about, you know, what are you bringing to the community? It's not a hot or not conversation. It's not a what's on your resume, what's in the bank account. When you come to the play, no phones, no money, no hierarchy. Everyone looks the same naked, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So it's a space to let all the other stuff from the world go away. It's a space to play, to be curious, to investigate. And something I really always want to make clear is you don't have to be non-monogamous to go to play parties. We have monogamous couples that come and just, you know, come for the drinks and the conversation, maybe enjoy, you know, we do big theatrical performances. They love the show. They'll talk to some people. They just love the environment. And they'll either get juiced up and go home, or maybe they'll play with each other a little bit there, but there's no, like, requirement in the space other than mutual respect and consent. So you don't have to be non-monogamous to go to play parties, and you don't have to go to play parties if you're non-monogamous. They are not inherently connected, but it is a very fun way to explore, learn new things about yourself, meet other people that are like-minded. Each community does have its own personality, and there are different styles of parties as well. So, you know, not all play parties are created equal. So it's important to try a few and kind of see what community you align with most.
This is fascinating to me for a lot of reasons. I think it combines, now the STI testing is new. Like, I don't know anybody, any other space or group of people that necessarily does that, but I think it's fantastic. But I'm a member of two dungeons. Like, I know I don't look like a dungeon person, but I've had some fun dungeon experiences. And they always do an interview, like you're saying. They want to make sure that you understand consent and rules and don't light yourself on fire. And here's exactly how we play. Here's what to expect. And I always was like, I'm like, I wish all of life was like this. Like, you had an introductory call for everything to just kind of know what to expect.
Honestly.
And make sure that you're in the right room, you know, like,
exactly.
You don't want to get there and be like, what the fuck is this?
Exactly. Well, and to your point too, of like knowing, like, the communicating the boundaries, like what this space is, what this space isn't. Cause I think a mistake a lot of people make too, is it's like, oh, it's a play party, or, oh, it's non-monogamy, it's polyamory, it's just a free for all.
Yeah.
Like, quite the opposite. Like, the boundaries are super important. We get freedom by knowing the boundaries. I also do want to say boundaries, it's important to know your boundaries, obviously very important to know other people's boundaries. And they're not necessarily, don't think of it like a wall. Boundaries and knowing where they are is so that you can push them slightly in a safe way. Mm-hmm. Again, safety being the key. If we're in our comfort zone all of the time, we don't grow. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a difference between being slightly uncomfortable and feeling unsafe or being unsafe. Definitely different, not saying unsafe, but knowing where that edge is so you can slightly push it with the right people in the right environment periodically so that you can grow and expand your understanding of who you are, what you're into, what's possible.
Ah, I love this so much because there are different communities. Mm-hmm. I'm in a lifestyle group on Facebook for our region, And there is a whole community of swingers in the group, and they will go to play parties and play with whoever and do gangbangs. And then there is a group of polyamorous folk that have their people, whether it's a triad or a quad or just them and someone else and their whatever that dynamic is, or they have multiple partners. And I don't see a ton of like blending of the two. Like, I think you can be swinger polyamorous-ish and kind of like be the two. So I'm so curious. I love that you've said you don't like, this isn't like a giant orgy. You go to it, you have your boundaries.
I mean, there's definitely orgy.
It can be a giant orgy if you want to be part of that. But every group has their own dynamic. I love the word dynamic, right? So you go into this party or into Colette's or into whatever club you're going to that has this dungeon dynamic. And I love that the introductory conversation is usually like, this is what to expect. Like, it will be a free-for-all. Or, like, the dungeon is like, normally people come with their person. Like, there's not this whole exchanging of humans in here. So don't walk up to someone and just be like, let's go.
Like, have a conversation. Dungeon is a different, and clubs versus, like, they're all different specific environments with their own kind of ways of doing things and what's, you know, considered accessible there. Like a dungeon isn't the same thing as a play party necessarily. You are going there generally with your people, and again, even dungeons, they're each going to have their own parameters, so knowing what that is ahead of time, ideally they're making you aware, and most of them will. You never know, you're also responsible for your own education, so make sure you have all the information you need to feel comfortable before you're going to any event, whether it's a play party or a club or a dungeon. Know that, again, there's no expectation. There's no, I need to do this here. Oh, I've gone to a play party, I better play with someone. Absolutely not. We celebrate no's at the play by saying, thank you for taking care of yourself. Knowing your boundaries and being responsible for them is super fucking sexy. Like, that's really great. Thank you for making sure we didn't both get into a situation that would have made us both uncomfortable. Thank you for knowing yourself. Mm-hmm.
So yummy. So yummy. So if you're listening to this and you're like, okay, I'm identifying that I should probably push my boundaries a little bit because I should grow some. And if you're listening and you're like, maybe I should try something new, Allie and I want to encourage you to look at the play or look at another sex club in your area or look for a dungeon or just do something where at least you're getting yourself into a new environment. Go to a meetup, a local meetup with like poly folk, or a munch with the BDSM groups, and just listen and look and observe and see what's available. And if you want to get a little edgier, like, we've hired people from munches that are experts in shibari or experts in hot wax play or experts in showing you how to be a dominatrix. We did that once. That was really fun. That was one of our sexploration nights, and just saying yes to the next thing to just open your mind. And I think you'll find something new that you can add to your kind of like your tool belt of cool, sexy shit that you can do.
Community and curiosity are two of the most powerful tools you can employ on this journey. Like, having other people, making sure you're not the only one in your whole space. And if you are, like, if you're starting that way, yes, it's going to be like that. So make that effort to get out there, find the groups, like what you're saying, meet other people, ask questions, be the newbie, be the student, be super thirsty to learn new things. I think that's, I mean, I'm a sapiosexual. I'm all about like learning all day. Like, let's go.
So Allie, what do you want to leave us with? And if people have completely fallen in love with you, like I maybe have by the end of this podcast episode, how can people work with you? What other way, like, what are the ways that you offer? What does that look like? And I'll put all your links below so everybody can just take a moment, go follow Allie on all her platforms.
Thank you so much. I think my passion is helping people, first of all, understand is to be able to pronounce non-monogamy, and then to determine if it's something that they're interested in exploring. So I have a really useful little tool that I created called the relationship ratio. It's a really handy little number that'll basically give you a clue on where you're at currently in your relationship and is it ready to open up. So you can go check that out at passport2pleasure.com/ratio. So passport2pleasure.com/ratio, and you'll get a free worksheet. You'll get a bunch of info that'll add you to my newsletter so you can start getting all the info I share with my community. I do private guidance, which is like coaching. I have a foundational course that I am actually really passionate about. It's called ENM 101, Exploring Healthy Non-Monogamy. So basically, once you have your relationship ratio and you determine, you know, yes, I think we're actually ready to explore. Now what? That's what ENM 101 is for. It's going to give you all the vocabulary, break down all the relationship frameworks, help you figure out what your ideal relationship structure is, and then help you step by step build your own relationship agreement, which is a pivotal tool to have if you're going to explore non-monogamy in a healthy way.
Perfect. Awesome. So I will link these two things as well down in the show notes below so you guys can stop, grab them, get on Allie's email list so that you can see all the cool things she's up to. Thank you for being on. This was so fun.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Absolutely. Such a delight.
Bye. Hey there. Did you know that I do online coaching? Yes, I do online coaching in the sex and relationship space. Some of the topics that are near and dear to my heart are open relationships. So that includes polyamory, swinging, or what we call the lifestyle. I also love conversations around online dating. We're talking Bumble, Tinder, Field, and more. And then the last thing that's really passionate and close to my heart is conscious uncoupling. That means we get to break up with people with love and respect, with dignity and hope. We get to create a life for our children that gets to be a little bit different. We can do